Right, well done everyone for coming out tonight. I think people are quite tired, so I'll only speak for about 30 minutes this evening. And I'm only joking. It's kind of interesting exercise. It was great sitting next to Elizabeth and just seeing how your day went on Wednesday. A lot of gardening, which is really impressive. Yeah, you think you were gardening. That's how you remember it. But it's interesting exercise, isn't it, to see how full your life is. People will often say, you know, I'm really busy. My life is full. So much time is taken up. And people are busy. It's genuine. I'm not slating that. I'm not kind of suggesting that they're not. They are busy. Life is busy. So it's a kind of interesting thing when people say, you know, Jesus came so that we might have life and life in all its fullness. And some churches will use that and say, come to Jesus, he will make your life complete and you'll have joy and happiness and plenty, as if that's what that verse means. Now, we'll come back to that in a minute when we think about it, but because I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. And when we look at the passage in detail, you will see that. But I was trying to think about how to prepare for tonight, and I got thinking a little bit about bucket lists. Do you know what bucket lists are? Are you familiar with that? Things to do before you die. And it's a big thing that people do. If you Google it, you know, there are things, places to go and visit. If you think for a moment about the great things you've done in your life that have brought fullness, the great places that you've visited. Who was it who wanted to fly?
Me.
You want to glide. I've been in a glider, very exciting. I've done aerobatics. I've looped a loop in a single engine prop plane, which was very, very exciting. The guy who got in before me had thrown up his lunch and the stench was still there. So it's still exciting having done it. So things to do, exciting things to do, fill your life with that. That's things to look forward to. Or places to visit, you know, places that you love to go. Who's been to the Grand Canyon? Anyone? It's amazing. It's an amazing place to go and visit. Should be on everyone's bucket list. And then you get people doing bucket lists, which are kind of naughty things to do before you die, things that you should try to do. Now, this is a new toy that we have, and we're about to find out if it's going to work or not. I might have to come down here. The range is supposed to have 50 meters range, but it clearly doesn't. And here we go. So, here's one thing to try and do. Okay, you need to look at the screen. Okay, now, I would like you all to try and do this. Okay, you're not in a lift now, but I'd like you to practice for doing this in the future, okay? So if you could all stand up, okay? And then, so this is the practice in front of brothers and sisters and friends. We're all friends here. So if you could watch this, and then we'll have a wee practice, okay? And next time you're in a lift on your own and the door opens, you need to do this. Okay, you ready? Okay, anyone want to try it? Naomi, you were pretty good at it earlier. I mean, it doesn't need to be like that. It could just be a dance, you know? It could just be like that. Okay. So, wouldn't it be great if you did that? I mean, another thing you could do that's a bit like that is if you're in an office somewhere, if you work in an office building, if you can sit down, if you're working in an office building somewhere, you could move your desk and move your desk into the lift. And then when the lift doors open, you can say to them, the person who's coming in, you can say, hello, have you got an appointment? You'd probably get fired if you did it, but it would be quite fun. So that's one thing you can do with your time, bucket list before you die. It might have to come down again, so I have to keep moving amongst you. I know that's a bit intimidating. Or how about this? Change your name to Acula. And then what you do, so you change by deed poll your name to Acula. Good reason for that, because after that, you're going to train to be a doctor, thus becoming Dracula. Wouldn't that be cool? Something to do before you die. I think that's quite... What do you think? Dr. Acula. Dracula. I thought it was quite good. What do you think? But up at the back. Yeah, Doug likes it. Somebody else doesn't like it. There's a surprise. Okay, this is quite a good one, I think. You could do this. You could buy a parrot. Yeah, get a parrot. No, but this is what you're going to teach it to do. No, but you take it everywhere with you. It would be coming with you on your world tour, visiting all these great places. Go everywhere, because this is what you're training it to do. So you teach it you help, I've been turned into a parrot, and then take everywhere with you on your grand tour. So it would be free, and it would be having a great time winding up everybody you meet, because people would start talking to it and saying, oh, how can I help? How can we transform you back? But the only thing it could say is, help, I've been turned into a parrot.
At least you could fly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? You could, that would make life a bit more meaningful and fun as well at the same time. So I don't want this to be heavy tonight, although we're going to get a little bit heavy in a minute, because, you know, it's a kind of no-brainer that the Lord wants us to live life to the full and to the max, to make the most of it. One of the things that we see happening in people who've come to Christ is their lives transform. I'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, I came across this guy, a guy called Nick Martin. Do you know about TEDx talks? Have you ever come across TEDx talks? A friend of mine just gave one down in England about transhumanism and how not to be discriminatory against people who are transhuman, you know, people who have taken on electronic bits into their body and into their brain and stuff, and that's going to be the next big thing that we should worry about. So he just did this TEDx talk, but a lot of TEDx talks are about how to make the most of your life. And I came across this one that was entitled Live Life to the Fullest by a guy called Nick Martin, and he's basically trying to tell everybody, you know, how to make the most of your life from a completely secular and self-centered kind of view of life. So he came up with these things, which are, again, no-brainer. Be your own superhero, whatever that means. So, you know, you just put up with all the things that the world throws at you, and you bounce back as if it's not happening. I don't know how easy that actually is to do. He also said it's all about the mindset, so you need to just keep a positive mindset, and that will get you through, and it's making life, taking life to the fullest. Making mistakes is great. I thought this was really interesting. He was talking about his world travels, and he made lots of mistakes on the way. And making mistakes, the thing that we might all agree on is if you make mistakes, you learn from them. That's a good thing. But he was being a bit more affirming about making mistakes, that we need to make mistakes more regularly because it's just so great. And then he used parliamentary language for the next one, which I can't, only prime ministers can say the word that's hidden by the symbols there. So I'm not saying it because we're in church, and it's bad that the prime minister is saying it, and I don't want you sitting there guessing what it is, okay? This is real. This is real world. We have to deal with the real world. People use bad language at times. We're not going to use it. This is what he said. Nobody cares is the other way to put it. Nobody cares what you do or what you think. Just get on with your life is what he said. And then a great thing he ended with, just be grateful for all the good experiences you give. Now, that was coming from a totally secular experience, but what he was basically trying to do is try and give some counsel to people who have got no faith, no knowledge of faith, no experience of God, don't believe in God, about how to get through life, because life can be pretty difficult and miserable. So there's a lot of people out there trying to give counsel. And I just find that really interesting. You know, these have become the new ministers or the new priests. You know, you go on a TEDx talk and you pick up, you know, something. And he finished off with saying this, listen to your heart and go get it, which some of us would just describe as selfishness, basically. You know, you're just being selfish, and that's, you know, how most of us think. We're quite selfish about our time, selfish about how we do stuff. So that's just an introduction, really. I want to go back to the text that we had from John chapter 10 and verse 10. Remember what it said? I've come that they may have life and live it to the full. That was Jesus' purpose. Now, it's interesting who he was talking to, because he was actually talking to the Pharisees and the disciples when he said this. He wasn't talking to the crowds. He was talking to a bunch of religious folk. And actually, what we understand that verse to mean is not really what the hearers would have heard. Because let's think about it for a moment. In Jewish culture, the important things were being religious and your family. Being religious, doing your religious duty and your family. There wasn't a lot of entertainment. You couldn't nip down to the cinema or the theatre. It wasn't something that people did. They did not live their lives worrying. With what they did worry about was where the next meal on their table was going to come from. So when Jesus is talking about living life to the full, he's not talking about it in the way that we would think that meant, about time being full. He's talking about it at a spiritual level. And we know that because of what comes before it. Because he says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. If you've got a Bible, plenty of Bibles under the chairs if you want to pick it up. But the whole section that this comes from is him talking to the Pharisees. And Jesus says this, he says, verse 7, therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to eat, steal, and kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Then in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So what Jesus is saying, when he says he's come that they may have life, he's really pointing not to their happiness, but to their fulfillment. And that's a different thing from happiness. He's pointing to himself, in other words. If you want to know what fulfillment is found in Jesus and nowhere else. So what we learn from that, that's John chapter 10, the first part of verse 10. So what we learn from that, what does he mean, is this. So if we look again at the passage, what can we tell about Jesus in terms of the meaning that he brings? Well, I think we learn at least three things from the verses that I've just read for us. First of all, he knows. Did you see that? Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? It's great to be known by somebody. To know a little bit more. How do you know someone? How do you get to know someone? You get to spend time with them. When you spend time with them, you get to know them. So Peter and Naomi and I spent time with one another on Tuesday night. And I had nightmares after. It was really hard. No, it was great. It was great. It was a great time because I felt we got to know each other a little bit better, found out a little bit more about each other. And we only do that, I think, when we spend time together. And we give ourselves to one another in terms of giving our time to one another. We build relationships with one another. And Jesus says he knows us. Now, the thing is, he does know us without us necessarily spending any time with him consciously, because he knows us. He is the creator. He's the one who made us. So he knows us inside and out. He knows our motivations. He knows what's hurting us. He knows what's difficult. He knows what is good. So the question then is, if he knows us, do we know him? So it's an interesting exercise, isn't it? Fill in your circle again. How much time was taken up by everything apart from Jesus? Now, you could say, you can get off the hook with that and say, Jesus is in everything. I'm spending time with him all the time. And that would be very clever and very right and very good. However, if I'm in the same room as someone, doesn't mean I'm spending quality time with them. So if you're in the same room as your wife, it doesn't mean, sorry, I'm looking at you, Mike, I didn't mean to do that. If you're in the same room as your wife, it doesn't mean that you actually know them or are spending time with them. Does it, darling? You're at the back. You can't engage in this. You have to watch the technical thing. So you have to consciously kind of interact, don't you, with someone in order to know that he knows us, he's the shepherd, he cares for us. So why don't we spend time with him? So that's the first thing. He knows, will we take time to know him? I'm taking too long, Julie, I know, kick me. Okay, he cares. I'm doing the next two quickly. He cares. Verse 11 tells us that he cares. How do we know he cares? Because he lays down his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So much does he love us that he gives himself, Jesus gives himself for us. That's the sign of caring, isn't it? That someone will step in and take the bullet for you. And they're not just taking the bullet because they're on the presidential detail and they have to take the bullet as a duty. You know, Jesus isn't doing that. He's doing it because he cares. He cares enough for us. He wants us to be in a relationship. And he cares because he wants to save us. Verse 9 talks about that, doesn't it? I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. See, that's the reason that the church exists. It doesn't exist as for us to be a social club. We spent the day yesterday, part of the day, some of us trying to think about what the church is about. The church is about being a rescue station. You know, it's about being a hospital for sinners. It's been about a place that proclaims salvation, that there is a different way, and that it's important that people realize that, that Jesus came to save sinners, and that he came that we might have life in all its fullness. And that means being in relationship with him. So maybe we could end this little bit by thinking, well, what does that look like? How do I spend that little bit more time in that pie chart of the day or the week with Jesus this week? Maybe it will be in the garden. Maybe you do it anyway when you're in the garden and you're with Jesus. Maybe that's a good place to be in prayer and to be listening to the Lord. But what intentionally can you do that is going to strengthen that awareness of what the Lord has for you? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus, who knows and who cares and who saves us from our selfishness and brings us into relationship with you. So we just thank you so much for Jesus tonight. And help us this week to know him in return, to spend time with him, to deepen our relationship with him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.